called Why Should Our Father Be Honored? And I'm sort of doing a series on the Lord's Prayer, part one. Although next week, I think I won't do a sermon on the Lord's Prayer, because next week is what? Thanksgiving, right. So I'm planning to do a sermon on Thanksgiving, but so far I can't find any verses on turkeys. But if you can find one, please let me know, and we'll work with it, for sure. But still, I want to try the Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a wonderful holiday, isn't it? A good reminder of all the good things that God's done to us. But today, I want to talk about the Lord's Prayer, that very first phrase, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. We've been talking about prayer last time at the end of Christ's ministry, so I thought, well, why don't we talk about prayer at the beginning of Christ's ministry? So that's why we're going in that direction today and for the next few weeks. Again, because there's so many verses, I'm just going to read them for you, if that's okay. And they might seem a little bit disjointed, but what I've done is, the Sermon on the Mount is Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And since that's where you find the Lord's Prayer, where it says, "Hallowed, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." In other words, may people know you as the Father, and may you be honored and glorified as the Father. What I've done is I've gone to every place in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, that talks about our Father and describes him. And I just want to quickly go through it. Boom, 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 boom. Well, who is this Father that's supposed to be honored by the world? Right? So that's what I've done this morning. And who knows? I'll just read it for you. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So that your giving may be in secret, then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. But when you pray, go into your room and close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And finally, if you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking this sermon is going to go on for like at least 1 hour, right? There's a lot of stuff there. I'm going to go through it very briefly, hit some of the highlights of how do you describe God as our Father according to the Sermon on the Mount? And did you know that the Lord's Prayer really, in one sense, the first half of it is really evangelistic in nature? In other words, the prayer that God, and I believe this is a prayer, an outline that Jesus gave to us that you could certainly argue is something that he would want us to think about and pray along these ideas, these themes, every day, because in the middle of the prayer, he says, give us this day our daily bread. So you could argue, oh, well, he's expecting you to kind of pray in this pattern every day. And so it is interesting that the first half of that prayer, you know, the pattern of his is, when you pray, I want you to sort of pray in this area first. Pray, first of all, that my name as Father would be known to the world and glorified. Pray, that my kingdom would come to earth as it is in heaven. That my will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Right? Sort of evangelistic in nature. She says, I have a passion that people in the world, and by and large, we agree that this world doesn't really know too much about our Father. And he says, you know what? Prayer is a mystery, but he says, there's a lot of stuff I would love to do, but I'm standing back, in a sense, and I'm delegating to you, in a sense, the privilege of inviting my kingdom into this world that really doesn't know me. But for whatever reason, God says, every day, may your heart come up in passion. Oh, may the world know about who you really are, God, because they just don't know you. They don't know about your wonderful power and reign as a power and reign of love. Your kingdom, they don't know. May it be known. May it come down to earth. And you say, well, why is it set up that way? Why does God do it that way? Why didn't he just do it? Why didn't he just show up and say, here it is, I'm coming in, da-da-da-da. God never forces his will on us. He's always asking us, do you want me? And do you want me to come into the situation? Will you please invite me today and next day and next day? That's just the way God is. It's amazing. So let's take a look at what our Father's like in terms of what we should be praying that he should be honored. Number one. Here we go. Number one. I'm suggesting we're seeing here that our Father is kind, and that kindness is seen through his light in our lives. Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and then praise you because you're such a wonderful person. Is that what it says? But often that times that's what we do when we see people doing wonderful. Isn't that person so wonderful? Look at the nice things they're doing. Aren't they so kind? Aren't they so kind? But what is different with Christianity, because the kind of kindness that God wants to see in our lives is a pure kind of love, a kind of kindness that is almost supernatural, not a natural human kindness. Such that people who are not believers see you living in such a way and see something in your life and they see a light coming out of your life, right? Let your light shine. Your light. There's a light inside of you. And that light is not something that is just there by nature. Oh, I've got my own little light here. It's not something by nature. It is something that God has given you. That is something supernatural. Why? Because they know that. They say, you know, there's something supernatural about this love and kindness that is in your life. I sense that it's something to do with God. I think this is showing what God is like. Therefore, I'm not going to praise you. I'm going to praise who? Your Father. Does that make sense? God is kind, and he wants his kindness and love. He puts it into us, and he wants us. He says, let it come out. Let that light come out that I put in. Let it out so that people will see it and say, wow, what a wonderful, kind God you serve and that there is in this life. Isn't that amazing? So, you know, you find that in the scriptures constantly, you know, God's not impressed with self-righteousness. Self-righteousness is our righteousness. And he says, no, it's a gift. Righteousness is a gift. I want to give you. I want to live through you. It's your choice because you're a free will agent. But it's my supernatural light that I want to shine out of you. Amazing. You're born again. What's that mean? It means the Spirit of God comes into you. So Christianity is not doing good things for God. It is God shining out of our lives to do good things for others. Hallowed be your name, Father. May people around me see how kind you are through me. And as a result, give you honor and praise. Amazing. Number two, our Father still loves those that hate him and passionately desires that they be freed from their bitterness. Now let me read this verse and I'll explain where I got that from. He says to them, but I tell you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and good, sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. You may say, well, it doesn't say that God actually, well, it does imply that God loves his enemies, but it doesn't say he's actually like praying for them and stuff like that with that kind of heart. Well, what he's saying here is that I think what he's saying here is, you know, if here I am, God, if I was you, if I was on earth as a human being in your situation, here is my heart. I would love those who despise me and are my enemies. And I would pray for them, that somehow they would see the love of God. That God's not like that. That life's not like that. That it's not a way of peace and joy to be selfish, manipulating, angry, and what have you in that way. It just isn't God. And when you're that way, we weren't designed. Were we created to be that way? No. We weren't created to be that way. And we were created to contain and receive and release a supernatural love of God that is so powerful that it even loves its enemies. We can see what God's like just by what He tells us to do. He says, if you're like that, then you'll be like me. You'll be like a chip off the old block. God wants us to be a chip off the old block, right? Well, not that I'm calling God an old block, but you get the idea. He says, if I was down there, that's what I'd like. And when you do that, you're just like me, loving enemies, passionately praying that they would see my love. Hallowed be your name, Father. May the world know that you are a lover of those that hate you, and your love, and with that love, you yearn for their freedom. Amazing. Okay, number three. Our Father's perfect love can be ours. Matthew 5:48. He says, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, that's discouraging, isn't it? Would you say that's discouraging? On the surface, that's very discouraging. Yeah, right. Think I'm God? Think I got pure, powerful? I mean, I got lots of hang-ups. Do you have hang-ups, too? I got lots of wounds in my life. I can be very guarded. I can be very snappy in the wrong way. And just ask Audrey. And vice versa, right? We all have our baggage. We all have our wounds. It is hard for us to love our enemies. We are naturally defensive. So he says, well, you just be perfect in your love. In the context, it's talking about the supernatural love. You be perfect in your love just like I am. So what is he saying here? Well, I think there's only one human being that has been perfect. Who would that be? Jesus. But there must be a way, you know, that it could be translated in different ways, but basically what he's saying is, I want you to shoot for that kind of perfect love. You say, how can I? Well, because he had just simply said before that my light is in you and can shine out of you. When we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we're not only forgiven, as it were, but the Holy Spirit, which is God, comes into our lives, and our bodies become the temple of the dwelling of God, the Shekinah glory. You say, well, I don't sense that too much. Well, I know I know what you're saying. But everything in the New Testament, as I read through, it tells me that that is the case. And so I just want us to be childlike enough, and or stupid enough, whatever, to believe it. Does the light of God, the Shekinah glory of God, with that love, that supernatural love, really dwell in me? Really? Now, it doesn't mean that I'm totally that way all the time. It means it's there, and that's why Jesus will let it shine out, because you don't have to let it shine out. You've got a choice. How much it comes out, whatever. So there's a certain amount of choice there. I think that's what he's getting at. You do have that perfect love. You can let it shine. So make that a goal in your life. Paul said in Ephesians 5:18, be filled. The Greek says, be continually filled with the Spirit. Why? Because that Spirit is the light and love of God. Let it come out. Come on, let it come out more. We'll keep on keeping it. If we stop paying attention to it, it will not come out. We'll just, by default, we'll go back to our old patterns of thinking and defensiveness. So I don't know how much of Jesus and that light flows out of me. There's still a lot of garbage that flows out of me and out of you. I know that. You know, we know each other, right? But I know there's some that comes out. I don't know what it is. You know, I don't know. I can't measure it, right? I can't measure it. I can't measure it in you. I can't measure it myself. But I know the Shekinah glory is there, and to some degree it's coming out. And I just pray, Lord, may it come out more. May it come out more. Let my light shine, so I can be towards perfection. Hallowed be your name, Father. You are a God who enables even human beings to prioritize love for enemies as a reality in our lives. Is this the kind of God the world needs to hear about? Number four, our Father has a pure, unselfish love. It is the only kind of love that He can bless. He says in three different areas here in Matthew 6, He says, be careful don't do your giving or acts of righteousness to be seen by people. Why? Because it's a wonderful thing. Oh, look at how wonderful I am. I'm giving this thing to this person. Aren't I a wonderful person? Yes, you are a wonderful person. And Jesus says, that's not my kind of love. Right? Do we like that kind of love when we see it in people? Well, we like to do it ourselves sometimes. But when we see it in other people, it kind of turns us off sometimes, doesn't it? Oh, they're just being proud. And that subtle kind of proud love, as it were, it's in all of us in different ways. We just kind of hide it and, you know, shuffle it around or whatever, but it's there. But God says, I can't bless that kind of love because it's a destructive love. It's a selfish love. It's a manipulative kind of love. It's not the kind of love that just unconditionally lays down its life and bows his knee and says, you know, I'm going to love you even if you don't like me and I don't need to advertise it. I'm just going to do it. I'm going to do it behind closed doors so nobody can see it. And that applies also to my gifts that in my giving. And if I'm doing something sacrificial like fasting or whatever, all my acts of worship, I don't want to do it publicly in the sense of, oh, how wonderful I am. I'll do it quietly. May people not even see it. But oh, may the true love of Jesus and the love of God and the light of God flow out of my life in sincerity and truth. That's the kind of love that Jesus can bless. I pray that there be more of it in my life. I don't know how much there is in my life. But I believe that we have that light in our life. And you know what? I think Christianity, myself, it's just my opinion, I think really that Christianity is very, very simple. I think it's so simple to live the Christian life that even a little child can get it. You mean Jesus loves everybody? Yes. And if I invite Jesus in my heart, that he can be in there and that love can flow out to every people? Yes. I get that. In 1920, a song was written around 1920 for children to sing, and it was called This Little Light of Mine. Remember, I already sort of tried to sing it already without much success before the children. This Little Light of Mine. And I don't know, I got a YouTube, I'm not sure if it's going to work. Well, let's try it and see if it works. I got this off of the YouTube. I just like you to hear it. It's kind of cool. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no. I'm gonna let it shine, hide it under a bushel, no. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Don't let Satan it up, I'm gonna let it shine. Don't let Satan it up, I'm gonna let it shine. Don't let Satan it up, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Jesus comes, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Amen. How profound and how simple is the truth. It's about as easy as that, folks. That's Christianity. That's Christianity. So, we're going to teach that song to the kids. We have to do that. Man, that's a great song. I think it's a great song. Don't you think it's a great song? Isn't that profound? Unbelievable. Anyhow, hallowed be your name, Father. May the world see that you are a God that is unconditional and unselfish in love, and that you can only endorse and support that kind of true servant love. Now, let me just rush here. Number five. Our Father is intimately familiar with our needs and does not need to be impressed by long prayers. That's pretty much straightforward there, isn't it? He says, when you pray, don't be babbling on like the pagans, for they think they'll be heard because there are many words. And oh yes, do not be like them. Well, your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. If He sees us going on and on and on, and usually they're praying in front of other people, right? And saying, oh Lord, we didn't know. You know, when you go there's nothing wrong with long prayers, I guess, but when you do it in such, I gotta convince God, please. I mean, He says, I know what you need. Just get to the point where I'll gladly answer. Hallowed be Your name, Father. May the world know that You are aware of the intimate needs of our lives, including the needs that we have. And You just want us to simply ask. That's the kind of Father we serve. Number 6, our Father's gracious love can only be experienced if we pass it on to others. I like this one. He says, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Now you might say, now wait a minute. That sounds kind of like a works kind of thing. I thought we were living in like grace where God sort of pours His grace into my life and we just kind of pass it on. I believe that. But it sounds like, no, I have to take the initiative to forgive people and then God's going to forgive me. That's what it sounds like, doesn't it, on the surface? Well, everything else in the scriptures would say that's not the case. Even in Matthew itself, later on in Matthew chapter 18, it talks about this whole thing of forgiveness and how God first forgives us and then expects us to pass that forgiveness on, right? And that's the teaching elsewhere in scripture. You say, well, why would it say it that way then? I just want to point this out. Sometimes, quite often, we got to realize that we're reading literature in the Bible that was addressed to a culture that is 2,000 years old, older than ours, in a different part of the country. And sometimes they use language in different ways than we use language, and sometimes we read it and say, well, that doesn't make sense to me. Like, what's the next slide there? Let me give a couple examples. Right here from the Sermon on the Mount. Lead us not into temptation. That's part of the Lord's Prayer. Well, that's kind of a funny prayer. Like, why would be God wanting to lead us into temptation so that we can sin or something? That's what it sounds like almost. But you know, really what they did a lot of language, where they did a lot of opposite kind of stuff. In other words, what they were really trying to say is, lead us out of temptation. But they said it in kind of a negative way because that they're kind of poetic people and it was just kind of the way they said things, right? And so we got to be careful sometimes when we read these things and not say, take so literal in our 2,000 years later, you know, brain that's so scientific and exact. Here's another one. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. How many have sinned with their right eye and their right hand? Let's be honest. How come you still have them? I'll be honest. How come? Are we not obeying this? Do you think Jesus meant it literally? Poke out your eyes. Did you think he meant, hey, you know what? If you poked out both eyes and cut off both hands, you're going to be holy and sinless. How many think that's what he was saying? I don't think so. But that's the way they talked. Exaggerated language. We do it a little bit in this language. If Audrey says, I've told Ted a million times not to do that. True. Would you say, Audrey, you just lied. I know you didn't say it a million times. Maybe 346 times, but not a million times. We know she's using a figure of speech to say, wow, a lot of times, and an expression of emotion, right? They did that a lot more in that culture than we do in our culture. So when you read the Bible, please remember that, because sometimes some things are taken literally, honestly, that should not be taken literally, and sometimes it affects our doctrine, even the way we look at God, to be honest. And I just leave that with you. Anyhow, here's what he meant. Basically, what he meant was, you can't experience my grace and forgiveness if you're not giving it out to others. It's impossible. You will not experience my grace and forgiveness in your life if all you've got is bitterness and anger in your heart towards someone else. You've broken the grace cycle. Grace is to be a cycle. You can't have one without the other. That's basically all he's saying. It's just a poetic way of saying it. That's my opinion. So, let's go just pop on number 7. Our Father does not want us to worry or stress. He will take care of us if we trust Him. Look at the birds, he says. Your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Do you think you're more valuable than birds? I think you are. So who of you can, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? He says, look, I make sure the birds get fed. And you know what? I've never seen a bird praying to God for their food. I've never seen a bird praying to God for their food. I don't think they pray to God, do you? I think worship is the only thing, something only a human being can do. Yet he says, you know, it's not, of course he wants us to pray, but, you know, it's like, how much prayer do you need? A spirit of prayer is this. I know God's going to take care of me in the end, so I'm just going to rest and relax and live my life for him as much as I can. And it'll all work out in the end. I'm not going to stress. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to bend out of shape. If he takes care of birds, he's certainly going to take care of me. He knows how many hairs I have on my head, it says. And I have, you know, my hairs are falling out of my head, but they're coming up in other places they shouldn't be coming up, you know. That's what I'm finding as I get older. But he knows, every day he knows how many hairs are there. Hair today, gone tomorrow. Hallelujah. Hallowed be your name, Father. May the world see your ongoing care for us. May the world see your heart desire that we be free from worry and stress. May the world see you as that kind of Father. And number 8, finally, our Father delights to give good gifts to us because we are his children. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? And again, here's another example. Is he saying we're evil? Well, compared to God, there's a lot of crud in our lives. Would you agree? Compared to God's perfect, humble love? Oh, yeah. There's a lot of evil there compared to that. But he doesn't treat us as evil. He treats us dearly as his children. And he says, you take the most perfect father or mother on earth, the most perfect one that just loves their children so much and just gets a thrill out of giving them good things that they need. They said, I am infinitely more compassionate and loving, and I get a greater kick out of giving good things to you than they do. Do you believe that? Isn't that hard to believe? But isn't that, this is the kind of stuff he's saying, isn't he? This is the Father that the world does not know about. This is the Father I think sometimes we don't know about, to be honest. All I've done is taken the references to Father in the Sermon on the Mount where he says, now I want you to take that name, Father, address it to him and say, may that be hallowed. Maybe that means, be hallowed means to be holy, to be set apart. May it be honored. Oh God, it's not being honored now. May it be honored. May the world, your kingdom come, may the world see how wonderful and loving and kind you are, because that's what's going to attract them to a place of heart, surrender, and trust of their lives to the true God. He's after our hearts, right? He's after our hearts. And you win hearts. Well, you gals, you know, eventually married, those of you that married someone, they won your heart, right? I hope so.